This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Accio.
Sal!
Carpaccio!
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 On WGR.
Welcome back, and again, we'll start with injuries here as the Bills have entered this new reality where they have a lot of them, as every fan knows. Bills and Ravens Sunday at 1. Sal Carpaccio on the Westher hotline. One guy that I asked you about, I guess, yesterday, what is his, like, where is he at in his recovery? Because he did play, even like almost every play of the game in Miami, is Gabe Davis. And Sal says here, DNP. So is that a downgrade?
Downgraded from yesterday, yeah. So yesterday he was out there and, you know, doing whatever work he was limited. You know, we only get to watch 20 minutes, as you guys know, or so. You know, we don't get to watch full team participation. We get to watch them warming up. And, you know, he was running routes and things like that. I even had some video of him yesterday. Get out there today, and he was standing in, you know, shorts and a shirt and watching. It was jersey, I guess, so watching practice. And the rest of the wide receivers were working. Now, that could mean a couple things. Could mean that he had a setback and bothered it yesterday. Or it could mean that they're just basically giving him more time and want to make sure that he's good to go. Obviously, it's not encouraging necessarily. You know, you'd like to see him as a full participant, but we'll see where it goes. It doesn't mean that he's out on Sunday either. It could literally just mean, hey, you know, he did a lot of work yesterday and we want to back off him a little bit today.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, I mean, if they sort of pushed him in against Miami and maybe regret it, I don't know. I wonder if they'll try to take it easy and play someone more depth and let him get all the way back. I wonder, Sal, if there's any clues on how they handle this stuff, how much urgency they're feeling after losing a game.
Yeah, look, I think the bigger point here is to your question that they, to me, have played just this whole thing with everybody, going back to Tre'Davious White, whatever you want to do here with anybody, kind of playing the long game this year, which is, you know, they're trying to win a Super Bowl, and of course every single game matters, right? There's no doubt. But I don't think they're going to do anything to jeopardize their January in here in September. So, you know, if guys can play, they can play. I'm not saying that, oh, you have a headache, you're sitting out necessarily, you know, other than something that was head-related. You get my point.
Yep.
I'm not saying that, you know, you have something super minor that they're sitting out. I do think, though, that they're going to take a lot of precautions as this season goes on, knowing that they have a good roster, they have quality backups, and they do not want anything to, you know, really – they don't want anything to set anyone back for what their ultimate goal is when it comes crunch time in those late season games.
Was Davis maybe likely to be limited in Miami, used sparingly without Kumerow getting hurt, or was he already, you know, on the field?
He was already on the field because Kumerow, when did he get hurt? I have to remember. I don't think it was the first quarter. I think it was maybe even the third quarter. I think it might have been the second half. I have to go back and look, Mike, to be honest with you. Like, what did Kumerow have? Look at his number of snaps.
I think it was like
But it would
five.
Make sense if you just, if you match up, yeah, that's true. I don't know. I have to remember when he got hurt. I remember the play, but I'm sure it impacted him in some way, him being on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it was, but I wouldn't doubt that he was already going to play a bunch, you know, but I'm sure it impacted him. Once you're thin there, you have to start doing that, and you're rotating guys in. You got Isaiah McKenzie, you know, who's going to be a kick returner as well. And Stephon Diggs came off the field a little bit for some of the work he was doing. So it's tough to tell. I'm not really sure. You know, obviously they would not tell you what the game plan was.
No.
Yeah. Well, if we're looking for good news here, and, you know, there's a little, I guess, right? Bates is back, at least limited. Like, that's a step in the right direction. for him with the concussion after not practicing yesterday. And I don't know, Poyer at least was limited again today. It's not like he was limited yesterday and then had a setback like Davis. Like he at least was the same status as yesterday.
That's right. I think, you know, getting the and I would add in Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins had a illness yesterday. He missed. That's right. two of your offensive linemen who did not practice yesterday. Now they're back at practice, and Deion at a full capacity, Ryan Bates in a limited capacity. As far as Bates is concerned, concussion protocol, you're going through those steps. You got to get limited before you can become full, essentially, right? I mean, right. Because you're going through those steps. I think this is very encouraging for Ryan Bates that maybe they get him back. And, you know, it's possible. They have their entire starting offensive line. You know, Mitch Morris, he missed last week's game, but he's been back at practice this week. You could have your full starting five. Now, they've suffered a couple injuries there last week, but really more to backups. So we'll see. Maybe that's something really encouraging. So today, the net sum of today, if you will,
yeah,
two guys upgraded, one guy downgraded. So I guess right. in pure numbers, it's pretty good. I also say Dane Jackson practicing again today, great mm-hmm. sign. Because here's why Dane Jackson's important, why he practiced today. Even as Sean McDermott said, and he said this, and it's important to note. So because of his injury, the neck injury, you know, he first goes back out on the field yesterday. It's really the second day after that that you evaluate him, right? It's, okay, he was limited. What did he do? How does he feel? What does all our tracking say on him? All the different things that go into his rehab and, you know, from the injury. Today's the day to kind of see. If Dane Jackson had been not practicing today, obviously it wouldn't be encouraging. But you could also say, well, maybe they just, you know, he did a little extra yesterday, like Gabe. Maybe they're backing off. For him to actually go out there and practice again today after yesterday makes me feel really good about that.
You know, I hope Morse makes it, because I think he is a big key there. If for some reason he can't go again and Bates can, does Bates missing time at all this week complicate the idea of putting him at center instead of either Manx or Van Roten?
If Bates can't go, say
no,
that one more time.
If Morse can't go,
gotcha.
Would they be tempted to shift Bates to center?
It's a good question, Bulldog. It feels to me like they would not do that. I think the reason they have Van Roten on the roster and Greg Manns on the practice squad is to be the backup center. I think they like Ryan Bates at guard. He can play center, but I don't think they want to play that game, because essentially they're changing two people. I think they'd rather just change one guy. If you have Bates go to center, and then you have Van Roten go to guard, for example, now you've actually switched two starters. I think what they'd rather do is only switch one starter. And in this case, that would be Morse. And let's remember, Van Roten he's been in the league, 9 years? Like, I think that's why they kept him on the roster, to be that guy, to be able to play in that situation, your interior guy. By the way, Jay Kumerow got hurt at the very end of the first quarter, so seems like to me, you add up the numbers, Gabe Davis would have already been playing quite a bit, but he probably was impacted by that injury after it.
Yeah, end of the first quarter, right, they had two pretty long drives there. Yeah. Scored 3 points after the first quarter in this game. Miami, yeah. Reading about some of their tactics today, really interesting to see how they adjusted. And, you know, they gave up a lot of yards, but were able to hold the Bills out of the end zone. Sal Capaccio with us on the Wester Hotline. Before we move on from injuries, which I would like to think eventually we will do. Limited is all over this injury report, you know, often. Eight guys are limited today. Is there an official definition of limited, Sal? Like, is it just any limitation? You take a, you leave practice 5 minutes early? Were you limited? I'm not trying to be silly. I just wonder if anybody who's not doing everything is considered limited, or does it work some other way?
That's a great question. I actually had a few people kind of ask me this in different ways on Twitter today because of the same reason. Here's the best way I can explain it. I don't think, now maybe there is somewhere the NFL has an official like limited designation. To my knowledge, there's not. What I will tell you from how I know how it works and confidently say that if you don't do everything, you know, fully participating, that because of some sort of injury or ailment causes you to either take some plays off or leave early, then you'd be limited. If it's just because, hey, you got a couple rests in on a play here, a play there, like, yeah, they played mm-hmm. 80 snaps in practice, but you had to go off for water for 10 of them. Like, that's not limited. Limited essentially would be you did not fully participate in every drill and everything else going on because of some sort of limitation due to an injury or ailment.
Okay.
It feels like it's often the like a line of demarcation, and maybe this is too simplistic. I appreciate the explanation you just gave. They do the individual work with their position groups, but not the teamwork.
Yep. That's right. That would be limited because you didn't do everything in practice. You did everything with your position group. You didn't take part in teamwork. And why didn't you? It's not because you're a third stringer. It's because you're bothered by a hamstring or an ankle. So therefore, you're going to be limited. If something happens during practice and you leave with an injury, you didn't finish practice because of an injury or ailment, you're limited.
Everybody who's limited has a body part next to it. Neck, ankle.
Yes, correct.
It doesn't say water. You're not limited.
Correct.
Water. That's not how they do things here in the National Football League.
But it would be, I will tell you, Mike, to go back, if there's like 2 minutes left in practice and you roll an ankle and leave, like you're supposed to be listed as limited.
Davis last, or 2 weeks ago. I mean, that's...
There you go. That's practice, a great example.
Practice injuries, of course, happen.
Yep.
So, Sal, Lamar Jackson, two games against the Bills. I'm not counting the game where Nathan Peterman started and he was a rookie and he played a little bit at the end. And in those two games, he was not Lamar Jackson that we're used to on the run. I had the numbers written down. 9-for-40 was the game in Buffalo, or 11-for-40 in 2019.
20-for-73 overall, right?
20-for-74 I have, yes. 9-for-34 in the playoff game.
74.
So, I mean, the Bills would take that Sunday. He's bigger now. I don't know if you're seeing anything that's different about this, but you've talked through the years about the Bills' ability to – they did a good job against the Ravens and Jackson, so I think you'd probably expect them to do that again. How do they do it?
So, I mean, what I would expect is them to have a really good plan. Always doesn't work out against Lamar Jackson, no matter how good of a plan you have. I mean, the guy can just bust open a 65-yard run at one point, right? That can happen. We've seen that happen. You have a good plan against Derrick Henry, and then look what happened Monday night last year. He's stopping him, and then that happens, right? I mean, I believe the Bills are a very, very well-coached team. I think they're extremely well-coached on defense. I think Sean McDermott, you give him a week to prepare for any team, and he's going to come up with a really good plan. Doesn't mean it always works out exactly perfect. Doesn't mean they always shut the team out, of course. But I would take Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, given a week preparation, over probably most coaches in this league. And they're going to have a good plan. How have they done it in the past? They've done it a couple different ways. In the playoff game, they played a lot of base defense. I think that was more so because of the limitations of the Ravens throwing the ball and using the tight ends as much, not as much as Lamar Jackson. But by playing that base defense, you're also having linebackers basically more near the line of scrimmage to kind of fill those gaps and fill those areas. You're not, asking corners to come up and make tackles one-on-one against Lamar. I think that's part of it. The other thing is it's super interesting to me. So, when you grow up playing football and you face the option and quarterbacks like Lamar, a lot of times coaches will tell you to slow play things. What I've seen is I don't think the Bills slow play it. I think they attack. I think that they get him to commit and they attack.
They
cut off a lane. They do something. Yeah. What's that, Bulldog?
They try to get him before he can get going.
100%. And I think the Ravens want you to slow play him because they're going to bank on him making a move on you because you're standing flat-footed, right? So I think what the Bills have done very well, a good job of, is knowing where they're supposed to be and then just getting there and saying, I'm not hesitating. I'm going. I got to tackle this guy. I got to get him down. Because the minute you hesitate, I think that's when Lamar Jackson beats you. If you remember a couple years ago, the other thing is Shaq Lawson had a great game against him. I think it was maybe in 2019. They didn't win the game, but he was terrific. And this kind of game would suit a guy like Shaq Lawson where he's not like screaming off the edge, but he's a good edge setter. And he knows he's disciplined. He stays in his lane. He stays in his spot. Well, that's half the battle. The other half is once you see it, you got to go and you got to get there and you got to get him down.
Jackson, the highlights this year, I mean, some of these touchdown passes are just absolutely on the money. A couple to Duvernay in the Jet game. He threw two touchdown passes to Duvernay. They're like, wow, the ball had to be exactly where it was. And so, if he can do that, then anybody's in pretty tough. And we'll see. Receiver-wise, it's Andrews for Baltimore. Like, Mark Andrews, 22 receptions in these three games. No one else has more than 8. Bateman has 8, and a couple of them have been big, Sal. But he comes off the field a lot. Like, they're still rotating Bateman and Duvernay, a lesser-known player. So I think, you know, you might like, maybe a lot of teams would sort of feel like they can be comfortable going up against Baltimore outside of Jackson or outside of Jackson and Andrews. But this year, he's burning people anyway.
He's been incredible throwing the ball. He is clearly, just this morning he was named the offensive player of the month, AFC offensive player of the month, and he clearly deserves it. He's been great. I mean, the way he's throwing the ball now, the vertical passing attack, there's been quite a bit written like over the last couple of days about how the Ravens have actually kind of morphed into this pass-first team instead of a run-first team, and that's because Lamar is attacking downfield. But what I find, and they are using him, they're using his strengths as a passer, you know, more so even as a runner now, even though, and then the running complements and it comes with it. And then, you know, the Dolphins, they tried blitzing him and he just kind of picked them apart and tore them apart. I think the Patriots did a little bit of that too. The Bills aren't a blitzing team, as you guys know. So I don't expect them necessarily to do that because it just would be kind of out of character for them. And Lamar's been very, very good against the blitz. What I find super interesting though is, I mean, it's all Mark Andrews, man. Guy's got 22 catches. The next closest has 8. And, like, yeah, they're big plays, though. They don't get those guys super involved. 3 games in, and their 2 leading wide receivers both have only 8 catches. They don't get a lot of targets and a lot of balls, but when they do, they make big plays, and that's the difference.
Duvernay has got 8 catches on 8 targets. Bateman is 8 for 16. Andrews against Miami, Sal, had, like, a 30-yard touchdown catch, and they reversed it, and they called him down at the 1. And on first down, he caught a 1-yard touchdown catch.
Yeah. Like, that was a shovel pass, by the way.
No, that was New England. That was last week.
Oh, that was against New England. Thank you. I apologize. You're right. Against New England, he had the little shovel pass.
Yeah, he had 2 last week and this one against the Dolphins. So he's the man to stop, those 2 guys, Jackson and Andrews.
This big play passing game that we're talking about does feel like a new piece for Baltimore. And I just wonder, Sal, how much harder, I mean, you know, it seems pretty obvious it would make them harder to defend if you've got something else to really, you know, respect.
Incredibly tough. I mean, not only do you have to worry about him running the ball, like, you know, how good he is back there. By the way, Tavon Austin playing the part of Lamar Jackson this week at practice, just so you know. Remember Tavon Austin, how good he was with the ball in his hands at college, and even in the NFL, I guess. You have to respect that so much, you know, that you kind of commit to it and you devote your attention to it. And the other thing is just watching for it. Your eyes, you know, your eyes get in the wrong spot. That's the thing that it's always talked about when you play Lamar. Eye discipline. But usually it's because you want to tackle him in the eye discipline. Now it's, dude, if you're watching him run, he's going to throw the ball over the top of you. Or to Bateman, who's going to get yards after catch. Bateman's a good yards after catch guy. They'll do that. They'll throw it to their backs out of the backfield a little bit. But yeah, you're right. The big playability, man, they will want to go downfield. Now, of course, other than last week in the 3rd and 22, which we saw, that's been the Bills' strength, not allowing you to do that. So I think it's a really interesting, you know, chess match this week between the two. And I'm interested to see if they're going to try to do that against the Bills, if they try to attack and keep that downfield passing game going. But they've been doing a great job of it so far this year.
Yeah, it's really a cool matchup every time.
Yeah.
And the quarterback class that Allen and Jackson were drafted in, they're pretty much it now.
Yep.
They're pretty much it. Rosen is washed out. Darnold's barely hanging on. And Mayfield, Sal, have you watched him at all? Like, he is really struggling. I don't know. He was pretty good as a rookie. But whether it's injuries or whether that was a fluke or something, it's not happening for him.
No, that's right. It for some reason he just looks like a different quarterback than maybe a couple years ago when he was really starting to come into his own. It felt like he was kind of making that jump. He had a really nice year. Just has not happened yet. And he's got some decent weapons, by the way, out there in Carolina too. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe just film on him in the league. You know, teams have kind of figured out what can bother him and stuff like that, which happens. But you're right. It hasn't really worked out the way I think a lot of people thought it would for him.
Got a thought on tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Bengals, and partly because of this disruption of the Dolphins' week. They had this really hot game that their defense was on the field a long time, and I get they weren't in the sun like the Bills were, but they're still there. I mean, Xavier Howard left to get IVs during the game. Then they had the weather come their way. They had to leave Miami early this week. They actually went to Cincinnati a day early. I mean, how much practice time did they get in? I'm not really sure. They're a bit banged up, including Tua. So, you know, I just think it's like this is a tough spot for them to be in. And I'm not writing off the Bengals yet. I know they can't protect Burrow. That's why, but man, they have so many weapons. And really what Miami struggles with this year and what they have struggled with, stopping teams through the air, that kind of suits. And if they're going to blitz, Burrow's great against the blitz. And he's got guys that will just eat you alive one-on-one. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase will just, he will eat tonight if they want to blitz and Burrow throws it to him.
So how much have they practiced? Did you see the story about their practice at the University of Cincinnati?
I did not.
So
I saw a video of that.
That's the story. So somebody videotaped the Dolphins. Geez. Like the campus is open. It's the football stadium. I've been there. Nippert Stadium is right in the middle of the campus. Like you could see down into the stadium from different places. And so somebody videotaped the Dolphins. And there was a report that the NFL is investigating that, like who did that. But then there was another report that the Dolphins noticed it. And so they practiced with 12 men on offense.
I love it.
So you couldn't tell what they were doing.
I did not catch that
so
detail.
I think maybe bottom line is still, I don't know how much real practice they got in. Like, that's kind of what you said, and
right,
maybe it's more true than you thought.
Because they knew someone was filming it. That doesn't sound like good practice.
That doesn't sound like good practice.
No, yeah. That's right. I mean, that's exactly right. By the way, that's great. I'll tell you this. So when I was a high school coach, and we didn't have, like, we used traditionally, where I coached, we didn't have as much speed as a lot of teams we played. You know, we were usually the less athletic and less speedy team. So when we played a team like super fast, what we would do is we would have our scout team put 12 guys on defense against our offense to simulate what it would be like, because their 11 would be so fast on Friday night that we basically just put an extra guy at practice because we could not simulate it with our 11, basically.
Wow. Awesome. That is awesome.
Do what you got to do. All right.
Oh, that's exactly what you got to do.
Thank you, Sal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.